This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. It's a Tuesday morning. We're ready to get going. It's just after 6 o'clock. The sun is rising. I mean, thank God, because when you wake up at 5 now, it is dark. Dark, dark, dark. There's no more of that summer sun there.
Yeah, it's dark.
Dark as the soul of an evil witch.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's an optimistic way to view the day.
It's the truth. The way it is. All right. Good morning, everybody. So I had one of those days where you get challenges with the technology yesterday. You know what I'm talking about. Email wasn't working properly. It kept asking me for passwords on things. And I was putting in the password, and then it wouldn't recognize it. And it was saying, hey, you must change your password. So I was changing my password, and then I still couldn't get in. And it was saying, couldn't download this from the server, blah, blah, blah. Well, all I had to do was reset my computer. Mm. All you have to do is start up again. Mm. These things are not... you know what? Elon Musk, let's focus on what we've already got.
What?
Well, I mean, like, our computers are not working properly. Like, until we get them 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
100%. And then I recorded an awesome interview yesterday with Jordan Peterson, who's in Canada. And he was great. We spoke for just under an hour. And then when I was listening to the recording, I realized that my mic wasn't working properly. So I'm going to have to re-record all my parts so you can hear me.
Oh, no.
Great. See?
Mabale, like, I would love to hear what you have to say.
No, guys.
Miss emails, I don't even
know. No, you know what my motto has always been in life.
Do tell.
Leave your phone at home.
No.
What?
Things are sometimes not going to work. And what do I always say? If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Yes.
So just accept it for what it is and keep it moving.
When technology fails me, I take the lazy man's option. And I just, well, okay, Wi-Fi isn't working, close the laptop. That's it, I'm done for the day. I'll face this tomorrow morning with more energy. Until then,
sometimes
that's it.
I tell you what, sometimes it's really good. If you don't have a dead deadline to actually postpone things to the next day, you wake up feeling fresh, you handle it properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because strange enough, the life of yourself and the world will go on.
Exactly. You think, you always think, oh, this is the worst thing. It's going to ruin everything. I'm going to have such a bad day tomorrow. And then somehow everything just happens. Mm-hmm. It's like when you go away. See, has just been away for a couple of days. And when you get back, it's almost as if you weren't gone at all. Huh? Isn't it? Suddenly you're dealing with emails again and people and the office and everything else. And suddenly you go, huh? Did I even take a holiday?
Yeah, I need to like change my screensaver or something just to remind myself of having cocktails as breakfast.
Right, that's what you were doing just a couple
good
of days
times.
Ago.
Yeah. See, we didn't touch on this yesterday, but how did you fare with the food? I mean, did you only eat like burgers and...
Kinda.
So you didn't really...
Because what we touched on was the whole breakfast thing, and breakfast wasn't my favorite there.
Yeah, I know. But when you actually like got to Bali, I mean, Hong Kong is a city, it's the world. You eat whatever, you kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But when you got more rural.
Bali, my friend and I actually counted, and we had fried rice 5 days in a row as dinner. Because that was the one thing we tasted and we genuinely loved.
What did they put with it? Just
fried rice. They saute some veggies in there as well.
Nice.
And they
that's
somehow
meal.
Zhuzh it up with egg. And I have no cooking clue how they do it.
It's Asian magic.
I swear. So 5 days straight, we had that as dinner. And I do not want to see another can of Pringles. Or another little packet of Oreos for at least another 3 weeks, because the sight of it would make me so nauseous, because that's all we had as well.
Your digestive system's going, wow, I found a winner here.
At least he's still young and can handle it.
Oh, no, I'm just done. I can't.
You know, there's a lot of talk, obviously, this week about Poloni and everything else, Woo! Right? Mm. Massive conversations about that happening everywhere. But there's also a lot of discussion around this Oscars yesterday. And I didn't think there would be because nobody really watched the Oscars yesterday. But a lot of people are talking about how Frances McDormand's Oscar statue was stolen.
At an after party,
yeah.
I heard about that.
That's okay. Right.
Where was he partying?
I don't know. It was some of those, because, you know, like the 40,000 after the Oscars parties. And so this man was hunted down. And I think, dude, do you really think that Joe Soap would be able to nonchalantly walk out of anywhere with an Oscar and no one raise an eyebrow?
Well, it depends how drunk they all are. Idiot. Also, you know, if you're the thief there, you've got to time it so. you've got to wait for all of them to get wasted and then go for your opportunity.
This guy apparently stupidly posted on Facebook that he had won the Oscar. And people are like, for what? For what? I mean, you see, this is what it is. Everyone is so interested in getting attention that they'll steal a thing. And then instead of just taking it home and putting it there like, I stole Frances McDormand's Oscar. He has to immediately go and post it on social media.
Wow, idiot.
Yeah.
He posed for an official picture from one of the photographers in the party.
But then he posted his own picture. And someone said, hey, hang on, what did that guy get an Oscar for?
But hang on, is this his idea of a prank? Because what's the worst that's going to happen here? It's not like he's going to end up behind bars.
Oh. You know, he is. He's been charged. I think he's been fined bail of like $20,000. And now he's going to have to go to court. He stole someone's property.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to an awards show and you put your award down on your table that you're sitting at, you don't expect it to be stolen. Let's say you get up to go and take a picture with someone, or you get up to go and have a dance, or you're going to get a drink or whatever. You leave your award. You just won Best Actress. You don't think someone's going to steal that. It's going to be far too obvious, right?
Well, look, I wouldn't leave it, but then again, I grew up in South Africa, so it's different.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. Someone will take it.
I would lose it.
What?
No, just leave it behind. I would. It would be gone in under an hour.
You would drop it and go, ugh, I don't want a scratched one.
Yeah.
Next time.
No, it's too heavy for me. There we go.
I mean, what a stupid thing to happen, right? There are some really dumb people in the world. He thought he could get away with just picking up her Oscar and walking around with it.
And he didn't even make it that far. He was apprehended by the cops just before he got into an escalator to leave the event. Idiot. And this is not a young guy. This is a middle-aged man who was trying this out.
Well, we're talking about the Karabo Mokoena murder yesterday, and we were talking about how that trial commenced this week. I don't think anything really important happened yesterday, but then someone sent me a message about another murder that we haven't heard anything about yet. But apparently another wife was dead thanks to a husband who then also tried to burn her body and hide the evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this just happened. Jill Packham's burnt body found in her boot at Deep River Station in Cape Town.
Mm.
How's that? It's a lot of... They're just these... I mean, it's really... You got to look out for your husband, ladies, and men. I suppose you should be equally suspicious of your wives. I heard a great joke yesterday. This husband woke up on Valentine's Day, nothing, and then a couple of days later, on March 2nd or March 3rd, suddenly the wife had prepared this huge spread for him with Poloni and Viennas. You know, he felt really lucky. He was like, wow, this is great. And she kept phoning him all the way through the day to ask him how he was feeling.
We have, like, all of these people who live with the bum uncle or, you know, like this random family member who never leaves. Now they're like, guys, do we tell them that there's this listeriosis thing, or do we leave the bum family member to rummage through the fridge while we're at work? They eat Poloni and they're done.
Exactly. Just have some Poloni.
Oh, I had a little smirk on my face as I was making my dinner last night.
I thought of you, because I thought you've never had any Poloni because you're vegetarian.
Yes. Like, look at me with my little meat-free schnitzels. popping them in the oven. I thought, let me post this somewhere. And I thought,
That's what you call smug vegan. Because smug vegans are running around town at the moment with a smile from ear to ear. They're like, oh, well, we told you.
Yeah, have you seen some of them? They're like, go vegan.
Listen, guys.
Meat is bad.
I saw a video someone sent earlier this morning of horses and pigs and cows and things being dropped into this machine that just smashes the... It puts everything in, the hair and the tails and the eyes and the skulls and the whole lot. And then they make Viennas on the other end.
Yeah.
And you see Tiger Brands called this press conference yesterday.
Well, isn't it that they were blamed for a lack of control at two of their factories? So I suppose they had to come out and make a statement.
Oh, they say they didn't do anything wrong. They said, no, no, we're not responsible. We are very, obviously, we're very sorry about all the people who died. But they say, no, it's not us. You can't prove it's us. How's that? But, you know, people also are always looking for someone else to blame.
Oh, yeah. It's easy. Just let's have a scapegoat here.
A lot of people are pretty filthy. They don't wash their hands.
Yep.
They're untidy, unclean people. We have... This is the largest outbreak of listeriosis in the world on record.
Mm.
So, I mean, we've got to take some responsibility as society and say, well, look, how clean are we? I mean, how tidy are we, really? How much do we know about how filthy our environment is? Do you remember when we did that swab test, Mubs?
On our cell phones.
Right. We just handed in our cell phones to this, and you know this from the studies you did at Varsity. We took the covers off our cell phones and handed them to a woman with an earbud, a cotton bud. And she just took the swab around the phone and then looked at it under a microscope to identify what kinds of things were there. And filthy. Filthy, like dangerous bacteria. Mm. The levels were terrible.
Yeah.
Because people take their phones into the shitter with them. People... prepare food and their phones right then, and the phone rings and they grab their phone and they like hold the phone up and they talk, and you know what I'm talking about.
I don't want to think about this because it will just make me paranoid, but we are disgusting things, we are
revolting. They say if you want to get a sense of how clean somebody is, just observe whether or not they wash their hands after using the bathroom. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
If they don't wash their hands, you know the kind of person you're dealing with.
Well, yeah, somehow we got to this point before the era of running water. Like somehow our ancestors were clean enough to not die, but just clean enough.
But also back then they had, whenever I watched things like Rome and I realized that their immune systems must have been much stronger back then.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you went from a prostitute to like eating to battle.
Yeah.
To like playing with children or whatever, and you never really washed your hands.
No, they didn't. You had to have a bowl of water to wash your hands.
Everyone had to go at.
Yeah, and everyone is dipping their hands in there. I mean, there must have been so much listeriosis. It must have been unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah, we've been filthy since day one.
We have. Since we climbed down from those trees.
Yeah, pretty much.
But some people are so pissed as well. They're like, but I've condomized all of these years and I've prevented getting certain diseases and I make sure I go for my mammogram. How the hell am I now going to be killed by polony, guys? Like, I have taken all of these precautions.
It is a strange thing to kill you.
Yeah,
I mean, you didn't expect that to happen. Polony.
But of all the foods, yeah, polony seems malicious enough to kill you.
It's just such a funny name, polony, right? Does anyone know where that comes from?
Oof. Have to do a
polony.
We
search. Need to know the etymology. Ah, Sia, I missed you lots and welcome back, honey. But darling, I have an issue I would like to discuss. This is from Justine de Queer.
Mm-hmm.
She calls herself.
Justine de Queer.
If we're going to regurgitate RuPaul quotes, the correct term is all tea, no shade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as
i.e.
opposed to
all truth, no disrespect, or no tea, no shade. The fuck does that even mean? But I love you anyway, Justine de Queer. Mabale, been gone for one podcast and I missed more. I love and missed you, Sia, and I love Mabs a whole lot more. Sorry, not sorry, Justine de Queer.
Oh, Justine de Queer, you're about to make me take my earrings off here.
I'd love to know what this is about.
It's terminology. That's all it is.
Did you say it incorrectly or what? It seems like you've been corrected here.
That's what she says, but there's slight variations. Like, no tea, no shade means tea is the truth. Okay. Shade is like being shady.
Right.
So sometimes you just say, I don't mean to, you know, be shady, but I need to tell you the truth. So, like, okay. I don't mean to call you a bitch, but you're a bitch type of thing. Okay. So, depends in what context. Sometimes you do mean it. Sometimes you're like, all tea, no shade. Sometimes it's all tea, all shade. But anyway, that's random terminology you've learned today.
Someone says, people who worry too much about deadlines and things like that need to read The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. Have you read that? Anyone here read that?
Not yet.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Hey team, there's been a listeriosis outbreak here in Australia. Rock melon's the culprit. I don't know what rock melon is. It's spun speck. It's melon. What's with the new listeriosis thing? Cheers, Dudley.
That's 3 people have died in Australia so far.
Wow, so they also have rock problems. See? Not just us, after all. I'm sitting on the shitter right now listening to you guys on Cliff Central, says someone. That's always good to know. Hey guys, morning, 2 things. Having a crush on Mubs is very difficult because she doesn't post many pics on social media for me to perv over. I only ever hear her voice. I feel like a soldier in the 1950s who has to rely on written letters and the odd phone call.
Yeah, well, you know, bringing sexy back. It's not easy.
You know what? I'm doing you a favor. There's really not much to see here. You're far better off having a look at those slay queens on Instagram who put a lot of effort in their pictures. And they look amazing. No shade. Those girls...
Slay queens.
No, those
all
girls
tea,
are...
no shade.
All those girls are proper tens. You must just watch them, rather.
All right.
You'll be much more satisfied.
And then number 2, Ben, in these trying times... As a lover of Polonian Russians, I seek the counsel and wisdom of your spiritual leader. That's you, obviously. Please tell me whether Angus Buchan has already planned a national prayer for this great challenge we face. That's from Dre.
Oh my gosh, I got a story. So I saw this friend of mine who hadn't seen in quite some time, and her boyfriend's family is very Afrikaans. Mm-hmm. So she thought she would do like the really nice girlfriend thing, go spend Easter with her the Afrikaans family, you know, do the things that they do.
Sure, like trying to fit into her family.
Try to fit in, go to church on Sunday.
Right.
And she's like, look, I knew it wasn't going to be fun for me, but you know, I put on a brave face and I got there.
Oh. Yeah.
Angus Buchan was the guy giving the spiel at the church.
She said,
I have never in my life seen a more detestable human being. Sure. Chauvinistic, sexist, absolute bigotry, all in one sermon. And she said, you look around, these people were just lapping up his shit. And she said it was the worst Easter of his whole life.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a bit of a throwback in some ways.
She just said like the vibe and everything about that place was so terrible. And he was standing there, the sanctimonious prick. And she said it was just the most horrible experience. Never has she seen someone that's just so ignorant.
Is he the priest at this place?
Well, you probably find that Angus was charging them like 100 grand to go do an appearance. Oh, right. You know, because that's what he does.
He's a Christian celebrity.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the Calvin Harris of NG Kirks.
There's a lot of money in that, hey?
Yeah.
I mean, there's huge money in gospel music. There's huge money in churches. Look at these, the Seven Angels Church that went and shut up that police station. And look at the kind of money they were raising.
Angus,
because what they do is they take everything. So they'll tell the families, Jesus is coming, we need your money now. They'll hand over everything. I mean, imagine taking in like 20 families' entire earnings. That amounts to quite something.
Yeah.
And then you say to them, just wait here, Jesus is coming. Yeah. That's what they were apparently doing.
Jesus is coming, but if you don't repent, you'll get listeriosis. See, you got listeriosis, I told you didn't repent. Just like the gays in Cape Town with the drought.
Yeah, there's always some way to blame it on them.
Angus will always turn it around on you.
So Angus Buchan, he's the one who hosts that big man meeting.
Homoerotic get
together. Yeah, where only men are allowed. It sounds very suspicious. Right? Doesn't it, Sia? And last time you were invited to a men-only thing.
No, but I mean...
Let me tell you about that night at the Purple Pleasure
Palace. There we go, right.
If Ben is correct about his chauvinism and bigotry, then it would make sense that he wants
just the men.
A place where no women are allowed.
Mm-hmm. And you can get away with all kinds of crass things he's got to say. Because that's, like Gareth said, he's a bit of a throwback.
Yeah, guys like that are the ones who say that the woman is there to serve the man, that kind of thing, right? You know, I belong to you. I'm property, basically. They like that stuff because that's how the Bible's written. It's written with that property clause that you should not covet thy neighbor's wife, ox, or other possessions. They're all put in the same category.
Well, they're obviously all the same thing.
Right, yeah,
absolutely.
Woman, ox.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys.
Freely tradable, I mean, disposable.
We don't know which one's more pricey. Sometimes it's the ox.
Yeah, well.
Depends how good looking your woman is.
I just feel bad for these people who are so desperate for anything in their lives that they believe people like this. Who go, absolutely, let me take out tons of money and give it to you, oh guy, and I will not.
You've got to feel sorry for them. You can't hate them because they're just extremely gullible people. The people you must hate are the ones who take the money.
Yep.
Because there are always going to be gullible people in the world. But if you're the one who's taking advantage of them, I feel like you're a bad person. And I'm not saying that you should go to jail or that karma should work. It should kick in at some point. And you shouldn't, I mean, this Billy Graham died in America. I don't know if you heard.
Yes, I was
Billy
surprised.
Graham is this very, I suppose he was a famous pastor. He was the kind of guy who used to spiritually console presidents. He would be there during times of difficulty in America, and he'd suddenly pop up, and then he'd be in the Oval Office, you know, commiserating with whatever president, whether it was Jimmy Carter or George H.W. Bush or George W. Bush, I think Clinton.
Clinton.
I think all of them used him. And he was this famous pastor, and he made a killing during his life out of his congregation, and now his son has taken over. And these people feel that they have, I mean, this guy, the son, feels he has a right to kind of express his opinion about things and how God is doing this and God is doing that. Like, he has a special line to God. And really, he's just Billy Graham's talentless son. There's nothing about him that makes him special. He doesn't have any special connection to God. If his father was really good at it, he can't be as good. He's certainly riding on his coattails. I don't understand. I really don't understand it. But people flock to him.
Well, Gareth, you're not in their clientele, so they're probably not too bothered about that.
People flock to this guy. And now he's died, and everybody in America is going to his funeral. Donald Trump is there. You can imagine. I mean, Donald Trump. Donald Trump thinks he's Jesus. He wouldn't go to someone else's.
That's why he's going there, so they can worship him.
Yeah. Cartman once had a bet with Kyle on South Park that he could get a number one hit single. They did it by starting a Christian rock band.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Morning, guys. That email problem with your password is the beginning of your mail. I experienced the same problem the entire week, only to find out that my cPanel was hacked. Over 5 times this week by hackers from Nigeria. They continually changed my access details and added fraudulent mail accounts to the server. I alerted my ISP to the problem, and my access details were changed over 5 times, but the hackers still changed it every time and reset my accounts to suit their needs. Oof. My password and access details were initially given to me manually, but they still hacked the server. I'm sitting with this problem right now. Be aware, this is a serious problem. God, I hope that's not true.
You know,
people have this happen to them all the time.
In the land of cybercrime, it does amaze me how 2 to 3 steps ahead the criminals usually are.
Like, they're smart, huh?
The rest of us are always catching up to them. They're so far ahead.
You think Billy Graham and the Seven Angels Church is a crook? These people who figure out technology, are those the smart people you got to look out for?
When we're online, we're looking at Facebook and reading articles. When they're online, they're in the back end. They're looking at code and all that kind of crap and metrics and things.
God, I hope that's not true.
It's quite the dedication that
Do you change your passwords every year or two like they say you should?
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah,
you do?
I change them by default because at some point
you lose them.
Forget it. I'm forced to change it.
Well, everyone's got a system, Mubs.
That's the real reason you aren't on Instagram, because you've lost the password.
You don't have to boast about it.
If we were talking about charismatic Christian churches, Mabali would be in the front row handing over her money when it comes to technology.
Oh, I am lucky that I haven't been caught in anything yet.
I hope you never are. It's horrible.
This
identity fraud thing. Jesus. Just last week, someone I know had her bank details hacked.
Oh, shucks.
Can you imagine? It cleaned out. And they had to start fraud investigations. They had to shut the account down. I mean, that must be one of the worst things that can happen to you in 2018. It really is shitty. Let's get into some news. We've got lots to talk about this morning. There's plenty to get stuck into. Mubs, what do you have for us in the five things you need to know this morning?
Well, let's begin with the new developments that surfaced in the Karabo Mokoena murder trial. I'm sure you guys touched on this yesterday, but yes, the new developments in the case of Sandile Mantswe, who allegedly murdered his girlfriend, Karabo Mokoena, led to it being postponed in the South Gauteng High Court yesterday in Johannesburg. There were some new developments that caused the state not to be ready for their session yesterday. So a request was put in for the postponement, and Mantswe's lawyer, Victor Semelani, agreed to the request and said that he also needed to consult with his client. The last time that Sandile had appeared in court was last September. He is, of course, being charged with the premeditated murder of Mokoena, who was killed back in April of 2017.
Sure. It seems that the wheels of justice turn so slowly.
Can you imagine what it feels like for the families involved?
That's it. And she was... she was just killed, and then her body was disposed of in such a horrible way. Mm. And then this guy said, no, I didn't kill her, but I did help dispose of the body. You're like, dude, it's like Henry van Breda. To us, it's perfectly clear what happened here, right?
It has been from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, we put Judge Ben into this stuff, and I reckon we'll get things sorted out a lot quicker.
Well, again, I reference the show Rome I'm watching at the moment. There was a trial where...
such a great show.
Where basically the man has been seen murdering someone, so he's in a cage. Like, he's not on the bench or anything, yeah. He's in a cage.
Yeah.
And then the prosecutor gets up, and the crowd goes, yay! And then he says, look, this man is an absolute beast, blah, 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 blah. And then the other guy gets up and goes, well, yes, he might have killed him. So the judge goes, okay, what, so he did? Yes, okay, well, fine, he's going. That's a death.
Sure. And they immediately kill him.
They immediately send him into battle where gladiators have to fight him. That's great. The same here. It's like open the arguments, and on the strength of those, we can say yay or nay. Let's move this along.
And then the South Africa listeriosis outbreak. Yes, we mentioned this. It has killed 180 people now. And according to the World Health Organization...
180 people.
Yeah.
Apparently, you only find out a couple of days later that you've got it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
For a lot of people, they might have it, but you don't know yet.
Yeah.
So the numbers are going to go up.
Also, let's not forget the high-risk patients, which is usually newborn babies or small children. Then you've got the elderly or people with weakened immune systems. So, you know, you've got people living with HIV TB or diabetes or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The high-risk people are always the ones that get warned. But yes, according to the World Health Organization, it is the largest ever recorded outbreak of this severe form of listeriosis globally. Most of the deaths have been in Gauteng. And now major retailers have started pulling affected products off the shelves. And yes, this is something that we mentioned as well. Tiger Brands very quick to say that they have sufficient protocols in place to deal with listeriosis. And this is all because our health minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, announced on Sunday that two of Tiger Brands' enterprise factories had produced contaminated products. So a bunch of tests were run, and they said some of your stuff was contaminated, but Lawrence McDougall, CEO of Tiger Brands, was adamant that the company's products have not been linked to any deaths.
Wow.
Saying that listeria is a common bacterium in South Africa. So even if the tests showed that some of their stuff was contaminated, they're saying that they haven't led to any deaths.
You know, it's almost as bad as the story in the Northwest. You heard that Supra Mahumapelo has got all these clinics that are being run by his health MEC, but they're actually Gupta-linked. So there are people going to these clinics, and it's a money-making scheme. The Guptas were paid up front for setting up these clinics, the ones that work. A lot of people in the Northwest are saying, oh no, those are clinics that were put up by the old government, Mangope and the old apartheid government, and they've just been refurbished by Supra and the Guptas. I mean, it's just unreal how deep these Gupta's tentacles go, hey? So we're discovering little places in provinces like the Northwest that they've been in.
They had their fingers
in all the pies. They probably had their fingers so deep in the pies they gave him listeriosis.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I'll tell you how deep their tentacles go. They go as far north as Canada.
What?
A? Yes.
And B?
Well, you remember that story about how Canada had lent the Guptas $41 million to buy a jet.
How dumb are these people? Justin from Canada, what's going on here?
And now the plane is missing. So if you spot a sleek, is it Bombardier Global 6000 business jet?
Yes.
With a tail number ZS Oak.
Oh, yes.
Canada would love to hear from you because this plane has been missing for a while now and nobody knows where it is.
Oh, that's great.
The jet belonged to the Guptas, whose alleged corruption helped trigger the scandals that recently forced the president out of the office. But the Guptas bought the plane with help from a $41 million loan from Export Development Canada, or EDC. This is Canada's state-owned export-import bank.
How's that, huh?
So they lent them this money. The Guptas got their plane, and now the plane is missing, and Canada are appealing to us to say, please help us find our plane.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, in Austin Powers, there's that one scene where he does the Indian mind trick. Do you think the Guptas have this? Because how do they steal? I mean, they clearly came into this with nothing. How do you get $41 million from a country?
They're just unbelievable. I mean, to be able to convince a country that you need a jet and they'd lend it to you because they trust you, because Canadians trust everybody, and then you just steal it. Yes, they're thieves. Yes, us. Huh?
Yeah, that's so...
Good
that's...
for them, though. I mean, I can't believe they got away with it.
Yeah, look, some people would find that kind of thing impressive. Other people would say, as Ben says, how stupid is everybody else? But that's what they managed to pull off.
Anything else you want to throw into the five things, or is that already five?
That's already five.
All right, then let's get to Ben and the sport. I just want to say well done to Ben. He's put up a video. He did one yesterday about the Australians and the South Africans in the locker room. Well, it's on the stairwell, actually. That got a huge amount of attention. What, you're close to 15,000-20,000 views already?
It's up to 50,000 views,
Jesus,
this video.
Ben, look at you. So Ben went viral yesterday, everybody. Let's give him a round of applause.
Oh, nice.
Kind of like listeriosis, you want to go viral.
Oh, exactly.
Before we get to the sport, though, here are some cryptocurrency updates. So first of all, not a bad day for Bitcoin, currently trading at $11,286. Ethereum is doing very nicely at 845, but not as nicely as most of us would like. We want it back to December's numbers of 1,200 and something, so we've still got a way to go to that. NEO is doing nicely, $112. It's kind of one of the more stable ones, believe it or not. And Monero is climbing nicely to $363.39. If you're interested in Ripple, that's at 0.94. dollars this morning. All right, let's get to Ben, see what's going on in the world of sport, find out about all those updates, and also check out his video if you can. Just go along to Follow the Bounce and you'll find all the links on all social media and then on YouTube as well.
So the Aussies may have won the first test in Durban, but, well, all the talk is around the scuffle between David Warner and Quinton Cox. So this is basically how it's gone. And yes, there is a fair amount of speculation here, but I've consulted many a source on the incident.
What happened?
David Warner, prick. Confirmed prick. That's a fact. Now, he was giving the South Africans a lot of gears in the field. And before the test match started, the Aussies actually asked for the stump mics to be turned down, because that's what they do. They like to chirp and sledge and say horrible things to their opposition. It's what they do. It's in their culture. They're just shitty people. So, as Adam Markram ran Aby de Villiers out, Nathan Lyon dropped the ball on Aby de Villiers. They were running around like children. And then David Warner was just giving Markram all kinds of gears about how you just lost the test match and you've run out your best player, blah, 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 blah. Just acting like a knobhead. So then Quinton de Kock gets into the field, and obviously his name is de Kock, okay?
Right.
It's a traditional Afrikaans Dutch name, whatever. So David Warner, because he's got a brain of a two-year-old, he's just making jibes at him. Ha-ha, you're named after a cock, blah, blah, blah. So Quinton de Kock eventually has enough of this and says, well, at least my wife isn't a complete slapper like yours, who got taken up the wrong end by Sonny Bill Williams in a toilet.
Oh. Hmm. Oof.
Again, paraphrase slightly.
Wow.
But his wife, look, I mean, some people regard her as a bit of a bike. I obviously don't refer to women like that, but she's been around. And she's got a thing for sports stars. And yes, in 2007, she was absolutely legless. And she was taken at the chuff by Sonny Bill in the toilet.
Well, you know, and we've it was, all done embarrassing
and it was,
shit.
And it was on cell phones, and it was a big story.
Oh, so we've actually got video footage of
it. Well, I don't know. The incident's already kind of moving on for me. But so this is the problem with Aussies, is that they think they can just give and give and give and give. And then suddenly someone retorts with something. And then, oh my gosh, then they're the big victims. It's the same with Glenn McGrath. So Saar won.
Glenn McGrath.
This West Indian batsman was batting against the Aussies one day, and McGrath's like, how does Brian Lara's dick taste? How does Brian Lara's dick taste? Because he was like batting with Brian Lara.
Right.
And eventually Saar won was like, well, why don't you ask your wife? And then McGrath's like, oh, you can't talk about my wife. And they absolutely lost it. And it's like, grow up. If you're gonna throw it out there, it's gonna come back to you.
Yeah.
I don't think a single Aussie has ever been the victim of an unprovoked sledge. Because they just give it and give and give, and suddenly they get it back. I know, Mavs, you're looking at this going, what absolute children. But this is Test cricket. You spend 5 days in the field with each other. Things get nasty.
Well, I'm just thinking, so your wife enjoys having sex with other men. Get over it.
Yeah, I know. But
or divorce her and move on with your life. But the fact is, sledging is a part of what happens in cricket,
is,
right?
It is.
And Australians started it, didn't they?
Well, of course. They're convicts. That's what they used to do with each other. So you spend a long day in prison. What else do you got to do with each other?
So if you're going to partake in sledging, it's going to happen to you occasionally.
It's give and take. Right. So the video that I put on YouTube yesterday was basically the CCTV footage of them coming up to the change rooms. Mm-hmm. And Warner's having a full-on go. And everyone else is just like, oh, dude, grow up. His own teammates weren't even really backing him up. He was having a go. And they're like, just shut up and get in the change room. Because this is what's going to happen to you. So now Steve Smith and Faf du Plessis, they've got to say all the right things because they're the captains. And obviously they just, I mean, if you read any article about the story, you'll not read what I've just told you. But it's just all PC bollocks. And they're saying, well, you know, things were said and we just need to move on. And, you know, it's regrettable what happened, blah, blah, blah. Bollocks. This is great for the test series. This is probably the best team building the Proteas have had since they followed that oak with a beard up the mountain in Switzerland that time. This is going to do wonders for him. Watch, the Proteas are going to do better on the back of this. On the back of the fact that Warner's wife likes a party. This is going to go well.
Sounds like this is a bet that you're making. We're going to hold you to it, Ben.
Well, this is just me calling it right now. The South Africans will be galvanized by this. And, David Warner, grow up. I mean, look, it's fair knowledge. As Mub said, women like to have sex. But, you know, if you're going to throw yourself out there, the subject of your wife's sexual escapades might come back to haunt you because you're playing in a completely men's locker room kind of an environment.
Yeah, and guys always want to find some one-upmanship against the others.
And that's why he took it so personally, because the Barmy Army even had a song about his wife.
Wow, they even wrote a song about her?
Well, I mean, like,
this woman's famous.
Gareth, on the night that she hooked up with Sonny Bill Williams, she was then hooking up with one of his teammates 3 hours later.
She likes to have them on rotation.
Nothing wrong with that.
This is what's going around the press right now. Prior to marriage to Warner in April 2015, she had high-profile relationships with NFL star Braith Anasta, rugby union star Matt Henjack, Aussie rules star Brett Staker, footballers Anderson and David Carney, tennis player Marcus Bagdadis, and even David Williams from Little Britain.
Wow, she really had everyone.
You know what?
Jesus, well done to her.
Yeah, she got out there.
Well done.
She's just fitting into the athletics culture, because this is typically how athletes behave.
But, yeah.
So she's just, you know.
It's also how Aussie women behave. if you've travelled, Aussie women are as blokish as you get. So, I mean, there's nothing untoward here. And David Warner, I don't know why you're getting so offended. Yeah, I'm the victim. You made it personal.
This is
exactly it.
She's a busy girl, this.
She's busy.
And you know what?
Doesn't he join security? She's getting away.
And I bet you there are a bunch of those cricketers who are just as busy as she is.
Oh, of course. That's what happens. At the end of the year, the women get together with the men and they ask how many people have had a root with. That's culture, guys. That's culture.
It's the culture.
It's culture. We're going to appreciate
it. Isn't that lovely?
So Friday, second test. South Africa versus Australia in Port Elizabeth.
They've got a lot to play for.
And let's just say there's so much to play for here, because now all eyes are going to be on them. We all know the backstories now. And Quinton de Kock has returned to form. He had a good 18 that last innings. Oh, this is Test cricket. Test cricket's the business. It really is. Last night, Man United pulled off some heroics they were 2-0 down to Crystal Palace, and they ended up winning 3-2. So they've stayed in touch with guaranteeing that top four spot. And this week, of course, is a huge week for athletics in South Africa because Justin Gatlin is in town. Mm. He'll be in Pretoria. He'll be performing on Thursday, and he's running a 150-meter race.
Okay.
So the 150 is
Did
obviously...
Did we like him? I thought at one point we thought he was a cheater.
Well, Gareth, he's taken drugs twice. Okay. He's been bussed twice. He's been found guilty twice.
All right.
You know, take for me once, shame on you. Take drugs right. twice, you got a problem. You know how the saying goes.
Right.
And, well, he's 36. He's done his time, so to speak. He's the current world champion in the 100 meters. But, of course, when you got a star like Usain Bolt, everyone else is a bit of a villain next to him. So right. say what you want about this guy. He is the current world champion. He is in South Africa. And I believe that the big stars come out here, the young guys, well, you know, kids aren't going to watch this guy and go, oh, I want to be like Justin Gatlin, I'm going to take drugs. They're probably going to go, oh, I want to be like Justin Gatlin, I want to be the fastest man on earth.
Right. So nothing wrong with that.
I'm hoping that's more the takeout.
Right.
But yes, he is a cheat. And you can do your time all you want. You're still going to be a cheat. You know the story about the goat. So, the 150 meters, Usain Bolt's best time there is 14:35. So, Gatlin will be having an eye on that. Although he says he's just looking to have some fun, come out here and do something completely different. So, Thursday, Pretoria. It's the Athletics Grand Prix Series, and he'll be there.
All right.
In other news of drag nature, Bradley Wiggins. Remember him?
Yes, of course.
English cyclist, the stupid lamb chop sideburns.
Yes.
Well, he was so great, and then suddenly he just retired out of nowhere. The guy won the Tour de France. He won the gold medal at the Olympics. And then suddenly he's like, well, guys, you know, that's it. I'm good. Why? Why, Bradley? Why'd you quit? Because sports stars, we all know, they love to keep carrying on. I mean, just look at Arsene Wenger. Is it because you maybe put some things in your body that you shouldn't have?
Ooh.
Awkward silence.
Very suspicious.
No, the fancy bears or the Russian hackers, you always find ways of getting into these people. So a TUE is a therapeutic use exemption that people use. So if you got asthma and you're really struggling, then you can use a TUE. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, these TUEs can actually help you as a performance enhancer. But because you've declared it, then, well, it's not kind of illegal. It's just frowned upon, whatever. So Team Sky and Bradley Wiggins, and I mean, this has been going on for a few years now, the story. More evidence has come out to show that these TUEs were used strategically rather than medicinally. Hmm. I think that sentence makes sense.
Yes.
And people are saying, well, Bradley, shame on you. And he's saying, ah, I'm innocent, blah, 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 stern face, you know, cowering smile. But he used it strategically. He used these injections before big races. And it just so happened that, wow, you get ill at such pivotal times? That's interesting. So, like I said, why did this guy retire so early? Did he feel that there was a lot of heat on him and he just stepped away from the limelight?
He's got something to hide.
Sounds like he has something to hide. And that's not being like critical. It just sounds a bit dodgy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all I can say on the matter. Look, there's other dodgy boxers who are taking drugs now as well, but we'll get into that closer to the story. You know, that whole Golovkin Alvarez fight.
Not really, Ben.
So that was last year. That was like the big fight that actually was a fight. Not McGregor Mayweather. It was like the big fight.
No.
So the Mexican guy's been found.
Not even ringing a little bell.
The Mexican guy's been found with clenbuterol in his system.
Oh, right.
But the fight will go
clean
on.
Clenbru? Isn't that what the bodybuilders use? Clenbuterol. They call it clen. I heard someone talking about that the other day. I said,
what?
Who the hell's Glenn? They're like, no, not Glenn, Glenn. Oh, all right. Walked away.
That's pretty much all your sport for Tuesday, I guess. I mean, there is an ongoing investigation. David Astori, he died in his sleep in Italian football at age 31, suddenly went to bed, and then he, as the saying goes, he woke up dead.
Shame.
Yeah.
And that's all they know for now?
Well, they said natural causes, but the cops are going to do a routine investigation. Around this being a culpable homicide, something right?
Good lord.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the Florentina captain just suddenly, that's it, dead.
Sure.
So in a nice part of the story, the Florentina team has renewed his contract so that his wife and kids do get some money continually, Shame. Which is very nice.
Oh.
But people don't just die that often. And we all know how dodgy people are in this world.
Yes.
Exactly. So I'm not going to be here tomorrow, Thursday or Friday. I'm going to be That's in right. fan courts playing golf, but I'll catch up with you guys as I'm there. Otherwise, well, just follow me on
stuff.
You're
going to be waking up early to do drone footage, no doubt. So we'll talk to you.
Yeah,
we'll
talk
to you
on
the phone. Right,
and then I'm chatting to Gary on Friday.
Just as I was going to ask.
Well, let me tell you, Ben, the most important thing is that you'll be up in the morning doing 1,000 push-ups.
Yeah, so if you've got any questions for Gary...
Yeah.
Send it to me on Twitter at follow the bounce, yeah. And I will take the best questions and I will thrust them towards Gary, to which he'll ignore them and tell me about how great he is.
Oh, yeah. That's how this thing goes.
You say it like it's one of the good things, yeah.
What is happening?
It's Gary. He's waking up.
What's going on?
Gross. All right, here's Sia with Said by Sia. Let's see what he's got for us.
There might be faith in this world, folks, because we so often talk and envy the likes of doctors and all of these smart people because of all of their massive salaries, right? Well, just for the money, I'm all about that life. Now, recently, instead of accepting a pay raise for themselves, over 250 doctors from Canada have asked that instead the provincial government give the pay raise to their overworked counterparts in the forms of nurses and clerks. Well, following a newly proposed medical budget that would award a salary hike for these doctors, a representational group of physicians and medical students actually wrote an open letter in which they insisted that their fellow healthcare workers deserved better wages and working conditions. So talk about being selfless in this case.
Okay. Well, no, they're just all standing together. It's like a union for doctors.
Yeah. In this statement, they said, "We who believe in a strong public system oppose the recent salary increases negotiated by our medical federations. Now, these increases are all the more shocking because our nurses, clerks, and other professionals face very difficult working conditions, while our patients live with a lack of access to required services because of the drastic cuts in recent years. So just on average, currently, a medical specialist in Canada reportedly makes about $403 a year, which is roughly 3.6 million rands.
And so how many dollars a year?
$403,000 a year.
You said 403. I was like, that's a terrible salary.
Oh, no. Sorry about that. That's just a little over 3.6 million rands a year. And they've said, you know what? Actually, we're fine with that. We don't need a raise. Hmm. So rather, we're good. Give it to our counterparts, the nurses and the clerks. So talk about being selfless. I don't think, personally, if I was in that situation, it would be easy for me to go, oh, I don't want more money.
Well, it's such a tough thing, right? I mean, you technically deserve it. You're the one with the expertise, the years of experience. You've studied the degree. You've done the hard yards. You're the one who saves the lives. I mean, of course, the nurses and the technicians and everybody else, they all play a role. But there's a reason they're not called doctor.
Mm.
And obviously, there's a commensurate salary. And what we've got to stop doing is imagining that everyone on Earth is entitled to the same amount of money. You and Elon Musk are not, no matter how much you think you are. And you know, similarly, you and some guy on the street who's got nothing are not entitled to the same money either.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to get paid differently. There's no such thing as equality of outcome.
I think the health minister is of your belief because she's just said, well, okay, if they feel they're overpaid, they can leave the money on the table.
Right.
She says, I guarantee you I can make good use of it. Well, let's just hope it will be put into good, proper use and just given their selfless act. So that's your Said by Sia for this morning.
Wow, if only we could have those problems, huh?
Yo.
Imagine having the problem that you've got too much money in the system and not enough
good. That's
like people are so happy to just, I don't need a raise. That's great.
Jeez. Well, that's also valuing your counterparts to a certain extent. I don't know if I could do that in that situation.
Yeah, also, that's what happens. That's what happens in a surplus economy. You can afford to spread it around a bit. All right, when we come back, we're going to hit some of the news stories. I heard Francis Hurd on SABC News last night trying to say the name of a person in a village in the northwest, and you've got to hear her pronounce this thing. It's unbelievable. Uh-oh. And plenty more. So it's all coming up. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. We'll also be talking to a guest. We've got Happy Makumalongidi, who's the chief marketing officer of communications at Proudly South African. She'll be on the phone to talk about the Buy Local Summit. You know, there's this big drive at the moment to have South Africans buy local. Maybe you like to buy local. I think you certainly, if you'd bought local, perhaps you would have been able to avoid. And by local, I mean immediately around you, you know, like the small organic farmers markets, people who manage to make their own crafts and arts and people who manage to do their own small business in your area that's in a little strip mall or whatever rather than going to the big supermarkets. I think often we think local means South African, but it could actually mean your immediate neighborhood. And there are probably artisans and people in your area that you should be supporting rather than the huge big chains. But we'll find out from her in a short while what she has to tell us about buying local and whether or not it's something you want to do. Always leave the choice to you. It's just before 7.
This is CliffCentral.com.